Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
You ready? Controversial statement alert. Here it comes. I'm going there. I think most of us live with watered down versions of friendship that really aren't friendship at all. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. I'll say it again. I think most of us live with watered down versions of friendship that really aren't friendship at all. We're doing a series where we're looking at stories from Jesus' life to help us understand who Jesus really is and what Jesus really wants for our lives. And the story we're going to look at today is also going to help us understand what friendship really is. It's in the Bible book called Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, a few days later, when again Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some people came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?" Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your mat, and walk"? "But that you may know that the Son of Man," which was a nickname that Jesus called himself, "that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I want you to imagine what life must have been like for this man, for a paralytic at this time. It meant that his whole world was a mat about 4 feet wide by about 6 feet long. It's all he knew. Someone else had to feed him, carry him, clothe him, move him to keep him from getting covered with bed sores, clean him when he soiled himself. There was nothing that could be done medically for him. No surgeries, no rehab programs, no treatment centers, no hope. There was no way for him to contribute to society. Anyone in this man's condition would have to go through life as a beggar. He's got no money, no job, no influence, no future. What's he got going for him? Well, one thing. He had friends. He has amazing friends. It turns out this guy is in one of the killer small groups of all time. The whole story takes place because of his friends. Without his friends, he never makes it to Jesus. Without his friends, he never gets healed. Without his friends, he never hears the word of forgiveness. How did he get these friends? I don't know. I doubt it was easy for him, especially because back in those times, most people looked down on those with physical handicaps. But there's this little band of men who refused to let his physical condition or social stigma keep them from being friends. These guys become devoted to each other. One thing this guy had to do to be friends with this group was let them carry him. That's hard. It's hard to be dependent on other people. But listen, part of real friendship is allowing our friends to carry us. Think about the guy in this story. He must have wrestled with the fact that like he was totally dependent on his friends. They saw him in his neediness every day. It's a very vulnerable thing to have someone carry your mat. And when someone is carrying your mat, you might get hurt if they drop you. So I'm curious, who do you let carry your mat? And when you have a real friend, you let them carry you. You allow them to see your weakness and your strengths. You ask them for prayer. You let them into your brokenness. You tell them how you truly feel. Some of you have never really done that. And you wonder why you're lonely. It's because you've never really chosen to have friends. Companions, maybe. Coworkers, sure. Acquaintances, probably. But not friends. To have real friends, it's a choice you have to make. So, will you let another person carry your mat? Will you share your struggles, your temptations, your fears? Will you ask for help? If you want a deep friendship, you cannot always be the strong one. And in our world, and I know that can be kind of scary, but God is calling you to let someone else carry your mat. That's what this guy did. He developed deep friendships with a group of guys because he was willing to let them carry his mat. And then one day something happens. Jesus comes to their town, and these four guys, the friends, they hear about that, and Jesus was like the talk of the towns back then. So naturally, these guys want to see him. They want to hear him teach. But then one of them says, wait, we can't just go ourselves. We've got to get our friend there because this could really encourage him. And who knows, maybe the things that they're saying about Jesus are true. Maybe he really can heal. We've got to get our friend there. Now, that's going to make it a lot harder for them, right? Logistically to get to Jesus, but they're not thinking about themselves. They're thinking about their friend. Friends do that. And so they tell their friend that they're going to go see Jesus. They'll pick him up at 9 o'clock, and he doesn't have much choice because when they pick him up, they really pick him up. And so they get to the home where Jesus is, and he's inside teaching, and it's just packed, standing room only. But we're told that not only is there no room like inside the house, there's not even room outside the door. People are crowding around the home, hoping to just hear a little of what's going on inside. Now, imagine the frustration of these four guys. Jesus is so close now. He's right there, but they just can't get through to him. They had been so excited. They had promised their friend he was going to get to see Jesus, and now they are shut out. So they're just standing in the yard outside the crowd when one of them, like someone who's involved in management, I bet, says, "Guys, we've got to figure out how we can get our friend into Jesus. So let's brainstorm." And remember, when you're brainstorming, guys, there's no such thing as a bad idea. So one of them, probably the youngest guy in the group, he's tattooed, he's pierced, he skateboards, he's kind of an out-of-the-box thinker. He says, "Dudes, what if we get up on the roof and we like made a hole and we like lowered him down to Jesus? Whoa." "Okay, guys, any other ideas?" But there aren't any. The hole in the roof idea is the only thing they could come up with. And so they realize it's kind of an unorthodox way to enter a room, but they're desperate to get to Jesus. And they've decided that no obstacle will stop them from getting to Jesus because they love their friend that much. So they go with the whole hole in the roof idea. So these guys get to work, they get their buddy up on the roof, which couldn't have been easy. Now put yourself inside the house for a minute. Jesus is teaching. All of a sudden, some dust kind of falls from the ceiling, and then all of a sudden, like a piece of something falls down. And so you look up and you realize there's a crack in the ceiling. And then you look again and you realize that there are fingers coming through that crack. And pretty soon the crack becomes a hole and it's getting larger and larger. And there's now 8 hands digging at it. And so the friends up there, that they make the hole and they begin to lower their friend down on his mat. And they have to be wondering, how is Jesus going to respond? I mean, they've heard stories, but they've never met him. They don't know much about him. Some teachers get annoyed when they're interrupted, that they may be worried about how he'll respond. But that doesn't stop them. Their only real concern is, we have got to get our friend to Jesus. In verse 5 in the story, they're lowering their buddy down, and it says, when Jesus saw their faith. The faith he notices is not of the man, but of his friends, their faith. I told you that part of real friendship is allowing our friends to carry us, but another part is carrying them. There are times in life when we need friends to carry our mat, and there are times when we have to carry the mats of our friends. Do you have any idea what the faith of a person can do for their friends? So, when was the last time you carried the mat of a friend? When was the last time you dug through a roof for a friend? When was the last time you performed an extraordinary act of service for a friend? When's the last time you really listened when a friend needed you, even though you were busy? When's the last time you spoke truth to a friend so they could grow, even though it took courage on your part, even though it was hard to say? When's the last time you thought up and planned out something really cool for a friend? I don't know, maybe a trip you could do together. Real friendship means allowing our friends to carry us, and it means carrying our friends. So, will you carry the mat of your friend? Will you dig through the roof? That's what these guys did. They dug through the roof and they lowered their friend down, and there's no record of them saying anything. It's not what he hears that Jesus responds to. The Bible says he saw their faith. What did he see? Well, he saw a big hole in the ceiling with 4 faces in it, sweaty, dusty, hopeful faces, turning something, hoping, you know, trusting that somehow that Jesus had the kind of heart that might respond. 4 guys thinking about their friend, not worried about the embarrassment or what will happen next or what are people going to think or who will pay attention to what they're doing or who's going to pay for the repairs of the ceiling or the interruption that they're causing for everyone. They're just thinking about their friend. Jesus saw their faith, and he looks at this twisted, motionless body that's lying on the mat, and he sees not only a broken body, but as there is in every single one of us, a broken soul. And he speaks so tenderly. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. This man has been mocked and shunned and judged by people who assumed that his damaged body was an indication that he was spiritually inferior to them, that he was judged by God. But now he's told by Jesus, you are a son of God and you are clean. You're forgiven. You are right with God. Can you imagine how that sounded to him? And this is another part of friendship. It's the most important part. See, in real friendship, sometimes we have to let our friends carry us, and sometimes we carry our friends. And the most important place we can carry our friends is to Jesus. When someone is your friend, your greatest desire for them, deeper even than the well-being of their physical health, is that your friend is right with God. If someone is really my friend, their deepest concern is the well-being of my soul. Do you have friends like that? Are you a friend like that? And your friends need Jesus. They need to have more faith in Jesus, be closer to Jesus. And I know what we think. We think, well, I don't want to pressure anyone. And people don't like to talk about religion. But we're not talking about pressuring anyone, and we're not pushing religion. We're sharing Jesus. And we can figure out a way to do that that is not obnoxious and does not feel judgmental. And we will, if we're a real friend. Will you? Will you lovingly share your faith? Will you graciously invite them to come and experience what you're experiencing? Because that's what a real friend would do. Because part of friendship, and the most loving thing you can do, is carry someone to Jesus. Because He is the only one who can make them right with God so they can spend all eternity with Him in heaven, and so that He can bring them healing here in this life. And that's what Jesus did for this man. He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then something else happens. There's this group of people in the room, the teachers of the law, the religious power brokers. And you'll notice that they had no friends to bring to Jesus. They're supposed to be the spiritual ones, but apparently there's no one in their life who's hurting or confused or lost or wandering or needed Jesus in any way. Who do you think was great in God's eyes in that moment? These experts in the Bible who knew so much, or four etiquette-challenged roof crashers who would do anything for their friend? See, the greatest sign of spiritual maturity is not a head crammed full of knowledge, but a heart that desperately loves people and desperately loves Jesus and desperately wants to bring them together. Well, the religious leaders are upset that Jesus told the man that his sins are forgiven, because they don't understand who Jesus is, and they don't understand God's heart, and they don't understand real friendship. So Jesus says, just so you can see that I have the authority of God to forgive sins, watch this. And he turns to the guy on the mat and says, get up, take your mat, and go home. And then there's silence as everyone watches, and the guy stands up and he takes his mat and he goes home. He would never spend another moment on that thing. His body, his heart, his soul is healed. And the people in the room, man, they all throw a party. They are praising God and celebrating. But you just know, the place where the party was the hottest, it was with these four guys and their friend, right? Can you imagine what they were doing? They're jumping up and down. They are screaming. I mean, these guys were raising the roof, which was good because of never mind. And this whole story happened because somewhere along the line, this very unlikely group decided, we're going to be friends. And I think at the end of this guy's life, when he's an old man and his friends are now using canes and walkers, he was still hopping around because Jesus gave him a really good warranty and his legs hadn't been used all that long. But still, I think he would say that outside of the forgiveness of his sins and his destiny with God, the greatest gift of his life was not his legs, but his friends. And I'll tell you what, when you get to the end of your life, it's not going to matter very much to you how big your house was or how much money you collected or how fast your car could drive. What will matter are the friends who laughed with you and cried with you and danced with you and moved you a little closer to Jesus. And if you don't have friends like that, you need to. At our church, the place where those kinds of friendships are born are in Verve groups. Verve groups consist of 5 to 15 or so people who meet usually once a week in living rooms, coffee shops, online. A lot of our groups right now online. And as a group, you laugh together and you encourage each other and you get to know Jesus better and you grow in your faith together. We do a couple of Verve group semesters a year, and we have a new September semester, which is hard. September semester is like a semester. I don't know what it is. It's a special 1 month semester. And then we'll do a longer fall semester after that. But this is a chance for you. Like, if you're not so sure about this whole group thing, which I totally understand, well, this is a chance to just get in one for 4 weeks. Try it out, right? And we all need to be in a group. I am always in one, sometimes two. If you're not in one, you need to be in one. And you can sign up today at verve.group. Verve.group. We all need friends to carry us and for us to carry. And we all need Jesus. And so let's pray for all that. Okay? Let's pray together. Let's talk to God. God, would you help us to be the kind of friends who allow our friends to carry us when we struggle, and the kind of friends who are always ready and willing to carry our friends. God, more than anything, would you help us to carry our friends to Jesus, because everyone needs Jesus. God, my prayer is that every single person watching this would choose to get in a Verve group where they can start to grow those kinds of friendships. Thanks for thanks for thinking of friendship. Thanks for creating us to need it and providing friendship for us through the church. God, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.